Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. As we talk about faith on this road that we are traveling, we have often talked about the fact that many of us are traveling on different roads, but we're going to the same place. And it's a place that we define personally. We sometimes look for success on a job. There's nothing wrong with that if that is what you really want to do. But many people have an entrepreneurial streak within them, and they want to do something else. Now, many times we come to a fork in the road, and we think, I have to go either this way or that way. What we have found is that as we enter our current age, where we have so many tools, so many opportunities, we can sometimes go further down a road than we ever thought possible before we let go of our security. Many people are entrepreneurs, but they also have a job, because they find that it is expensive to have options, medical options, for example, and sick time, all of these other benefits of being employed to be our only option. I was very happy in corporate world and spent 30 years there and was satisfied, or so I thought. I probably could go back into it, feel very comfortable. I saw through negotiations, through other things, working in human resources, the cost of benefits. And it's expensive. But we sometimes see things that we don't like in that world. One, opportunities are sometimes limited. They make us feel as if they're unlimited because we periodically get a small raise. The options are, as an entrepreneur, there is no upper limit. There is no lower limit. For some people, that's scary, very scary, and they don't want to lose the security of a regular job. That's fine. Success to you is that. I can't define success for you. You may be able to help me refine my idea of success, but you cannot define it for me. As we proceed, we are in a fairly turbulent time. We talked about it before, but sometimes we need to hear it again in order to fully understand what we're looking at. As we look at some of the larger corporations that have been formed in this country, many of them were formed during adverse conditions, inflation, whatever. And we find that they are succeeding because they had the vision of seeing things that were not necessarily true prior to that time. They come out lean and mean. It's not anything that can't be done in any other time. But we sometimes have to think an idea fully through in order to understand what's taking place. And defining is a big part of that picture. Defining, refining is also a part of that picture, because we're looking for better ways of doing things. Sometimes the old way is tried and true, but sometimes we can improve. Sometimes those improvements seem like miracles, and sometimes they are just put in implementing good business practices. I often encourage people to watch Shark Tank, Undercover Boss, and some others, other programs. But look at them as training, not as entertainment. We can go through, we can see things happening, and we are so quick to come to the wrong conclusion. For example, on Shark Tanks, we see people come up with great ideas, but they're not ripe. They're not ripe for investors. There should be something that you can do, and what I suggest that you do is to record the program. Record it rather than watch it live. Go through, listen at the pitch that people make. Understand what the idea is. See if you think it has merit or you don't. Now, there is no right or wrong answer in these cases. Sometimes tweaking an idea makes it so much better in terms of presentation, in terms of being able to come up with the background, the backstory, if you will, of what is available. I have seen people on the show that did not get a deal that turned out very, very successful. We very seldom see those people that got a deal that it did not turn out. Sometimes we see success stories where it did turn out, where they did get a deal. But as we look at it, we sometimes go in half-baked. We see people come in and say, well, all I want is a sliver of this $80 gazillion market. And they say, you're not focused. What do you mean you're not focused? Oftentimes, we have to go in a niche, a small area, which we can expand. We can expand later. If you are familiar with outdoor ice sports, climbing sometimes means getting a small handhold or a foothold from which you can spring forward and move up. And some of these people seem to be daredevils, but if you know what you're doing, when you grab a rock as you're climbing up, and I have a fear of height, is that a solid thing that you have a hold of? Is it going to crumble in your hand? Is it going to leave you falling? We have to know the cost, we have to know the benefits, and we need to know the risk of what we're doing. I've talked about a lady that I knew that started a successful business, and she sold pies, and she started baking in her home. Now, what we don't realize is that some communities have commercial kitchens that are available, and you can rent them, and you have access to equipment, sanitation. It's an approved location, whatever. You might be able to try it out. In some areas, you can even go in and maybe even brew beers or whatever. It is a very wide open market. Sometimes there is a need to have these types of things. And we are looking for the right time, the right place, that we can do it. I saw, and I used to love it, and I don't know if it even still is in operation. But as we come to food supplies, for example, we see a lot of food that's being wasted. But if there were commercial canneries around, we could can our own produce. This was a fantastic idea. I understand that they closed, but that some other communities have them, and somebody may have even reopened it. But if we could do that, we could feed the hungry. We could even make particular brands of products if we knew what we were doing. We sometimes look at it, oh, this is in a can. I can't do that. I don't have what it takes. But I found that it was so easy because when I would go to this place, they would have cans. They could be washed. They had some recipes, but you could improvise. You could make your own recipe. There were, for example, salt tablets. You could make corn, and if you wanted to put in a salt tablet of a certain size, you could get them. If you did not want any, and we find today that a lot of people want food that is not processed with a lot of salt because of the health aspects of it. You may be able to do that. I found that you can have spices blended. You may have a particular house spice. And what I mean by that is around the house, for example, if you have chicken, you might have a few tricks up your sleeve. And you can have that made to your specifications, put into containers, for example. Now, to people that are interested in writing a book, this may not be the idea that is their hot button, but they can see parts of it. You may be able to take an idea that someone has and refine it, make it into something else. In my other, or in my blog, I am hoping that I'm giving out ideas that people can use to create products to get information across to other people. Because I look at parts of history that have been left out, and I'm trying to, one, find my voice, two, find my audience, and trial and error is what keeps it going. When I first started, I was daunted by the past because I wasn't even sure that I could keep up with my requirements of doing it. I wasn't sure, but I had the opportunity to do so. We have a program that comes on Sunday at 4 p.m. called Did You Know? And I think that it may be beneficial for you to listen there. We primarily talk about Black people and what they have been able to accomplish. It may absolutely amaze you. Now, these are not stories just for Black people, but they are stories of people overcoming. That is the main thrust of the program. People overcoming. People doing what they want to, imposing their will, as opposed to the other way of having your will suppressed. So many of us do this. We allow that to happen. And I say allow it to happen because we can rise above it all. We see great inventions, not knowing that we could have done it as well. But when we see it happen to the least of thee, we know that it can also happen to the rest of us. To the rest of us. Women, for example, are told that their place is in the kitchen, in the house. But some of the greatest engineering around has been done by women. By not publicizing this, we think, oh, okay, if it could have been done, it would have been done. You may be the role model that sets the tone for other people to do it. We are leaving a lot of brain power out of the room where the engineers need to be, where the scientists need to be, where the thinkers need to be, where the innovators need to be. We can't continue to do this and sort through and think that we have the best when we don't give everybody the opportunity to be the best. We look at people and we sometimes make unfair judgments. We see people driving a truck and think, well, that's all that person can do. Do you know that person may be working on a doctorate in some field, maybe working to become a medical doctor, and this is just a stepping stone from here to there? All of those things are possible. I try not to look down at people for what they are doing. There was a time when fast food paid absolutely nothing. It's a little bit better now. But we've also seen school systems have to pay more for teachers, more for subs in order to get people. Right now, there are tons of people, school districts looking for bus drivers. If you were a college student, for example, or hoping to go to college, that may be something that you can do. You may be able to do something, drive in the morning, drive in the afternoon. And in the meantime, there may be time for you to take some classes. We're finding that school districts in some situations are having to pay tuition, or not having to, but they're finding it necessary to do that to encourage people that otherwise would not be able to afford the opportunity, a chance to achieve that opportunity, the chance to become teachers. And there is so much more to teaching than just a 9-to-5 job, because there's a lot of satisfaction. When you talk to teachers that are really devoted to it, they are devoted to the students. They like to see them learn. Parents, one of the things that you can do, because kids are going back to school now, we send our kids to school and we don't go. We don't make a connection. When we do make a connection, sometimes it's the wrong connection. Sometimes kids have to learn to navigate their way around the world. I wanted to make sure that my teachers knew that the kids were supported, that we supported the teachers, that the number one job of that kid in school was to learn to function in society, to learn to learn. Now, that sounds funny. Learn to learn. And one of the ways of doing that is to read, to be able to stay ahead, not fall behind. And this is certainly true of business. We find that you don't want to get left behind in your business because it is frustrating. We talk about avoiding frustration to the greatest extent possible. When we talk about making our list of things that we're going to do today, I have an erasable whiteboard, and I can write things down that I want to do today. When I go back, I can look and see what I did. If I'm honest with myself, I can determine whether I was fair in my assessment of what was going to happen. And today, for example, I had a very long nap, but I have plans for what to do when I get up. I have plans to do before these things happen, and I measure. Maybe that's not the thing to do. There are a few times recently where I've gotten up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I have a computer access, a computer close to me, and I may work a couple of hours, go back. Is that the plan for you? Maybe. Maybe not. You understand that there are certain circadian rhythms. Some of us are morning people. Some of us are night people. When we grew up, my son was a morning person. He had zero-hour classes, which meant that he needed to be in school before school started, because he had classes that he wanted to take before school that were offered. And so he had zero-hour classes. My daughter, on the other hand, was not that morning person. She developed into it because now she is a administrator in schools and lives away from the school, so she has quite a drive to get there. But we sometimes accommodate or become flexible to what is needed, what is desired, and we meet those goals. I often talk about a list of things that we're going to do. And don't make it so big or so impossible that you cannot meet your goals. Yeah, you want to stretch. You want to reach out. You want to make sure that you have utilized your time, your efforts properly. But sometimes we bite off more than we can chew. It's frustrating. We sometimes choke on it. And we then look at the goal. Is it really achievable? Can we make it? Sometimes it comes down to breaking this into smaller and more manageable chunks that can happen. We look at it. I found out, for example, the other day by going to my library and just asking questions. I had been using a service for training myself and had been paying for classes. But guess what I found out? I could get them free through my local library. Same courses, free through my library. Did I know this last week? No. In fact, I was about to buy another course, and I found out. Why? By asking questions. Asking questions. Our library has a section where they teach certain skills, keyboarding skills, some software applications, other very useful tasks. Sometimes that library may not have it, but another one does, and they keep in touch. And if you let people know what you're looking for, specifically, they can be on the lookout. And this is what happens when we share our ideas, when we share our goals, when we share our dreams with others. There are some things that we want to keep close to the vest. But in this case, I have found that sometimes that is not the best idea. Did I have the person exactly what I was doing? No. But I did share some of the information that I felt comfortable sharing with, and found out a source of information that is very helpful to me, very, very helpful. That money that I save by not having to buy the class, I can spend on something else. Or I can take that time because I did not have finances to pay for the class and increase my productivity by going through that. There is beauty in that. When we talk to the universe, when we talk to our creator and put our ideas into the universe, I think the universe talks back to us. We find that specific frequencies get us specific results. There are programs that I like to watch on TV. And if I turn my TV, my radio, my other devices to that specific information, I can find it. And it's very helpful to me. And I think the same thing happens with the universe. I was speaking of the other day of a situation where I found myself in, and I was in a completely different work environment. I never had a white instructor when I went to school until I went to college. I went through 12 years of school without ever having a white teacher. I moved to an area where black people were 3% of the population. I expected all manner of problems. What I was navigating was a world that wasn't necessarily real, because all I wanted to do was to go in, do the assignment, and leave, engaging in a bunch of this, who shot John, all this kind of stuff. And for those of you that don't know what that means, that's all kind of detail that means absolutely nothing. And so I found myself in this situation. But what I found is there were many people more than willing to help as long as I was working to help myself, as long as I was being a part of the team. I'm not so Pollyannish that I know that I think that everything is going to work out that way, because it doesn't. We have a problem in that many times we don't understand ourselves and therefore cannot understand others. I was a natural scientist. Give me chemistry, give me mathematics, give me something concrete that I can work with, and I understood it, I enjoyed it, I flourished in it. Starting to talk about some of the other sciences like human conduct and psychology and all these types of things, and I just did not have an interest in it. My interest developed when I became a supervisor. And while I knew the underlying scientific part of it, I did not know anything of importance in dealing with people. I began to see that some of the people that I thought were going to be complete duds turned out to be superstars. And the reverse of that was also true. Why? Why? I began to understand the value of motivating myself and others. And this is why we spend this time talking about this. This is why I spend time talking about biographies. Very few of us know the real story of George Washington Carver. We don't know because we're not presented with that information. I would love to spend even more time studying him, but he was somewhat sickly as a child and was not ordered into the fields like other people around him for that reason. But he utilized his talents. He studied plants in the area. He knew what it took to flourish. Those plants that like shade, those that like full sun, those that like well-drained soil, those that needed nutrients in their soil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This man was learning, and he was motivated. He was self-motivated because the first school he attended was 10 miles from home, 10 miles. And imagine a child being that far. He had to be driven, not in a car to the 10 miles, because that was not practical during the time that he was there. But sometimes we have to make sacrifices. Sometimes we have to put ourselves out. Sometimes we have to do things that are scary to start with. Now, we think that fear means don't do it. But maturity in terms of success is what you do in the, you can sometimes become more comfortable doing it. I tell you, the first time I ever jumped from an airplane, it was devastating. I mean, not devastating, but it was terrifying. Terrifying. I couldn't even talk because I couldn't get enough spit in my mouth to swallow. Every time I went up, I was scared, but I understood what I was about to do. Parts of it that were absolutely exhilarating, but there were parts that were still scary. When we have people that want to speak, it can be terrifying. We look at people that study this type of thing, and it is up there with what terrifies people. So how does anybody speak? They become more comfortable with it. They know the information that they want to talk about. This is why many times it is necessary to rehearse what you can say to a person if you have a minute, if you have 3 minutes, if you have 5 minutes, if you have a long time to talk to them, because we need to be comfortable. We need to be able to do this. We have elevator speeches. you're going to be there with a person for a short period of time. How do you crack that barrier of interest and understanding what they are looking for as well as what you're looking for and make a connection? Sometimes that is the difference between success and failure of your idea. Sometimes the idea that they have may be the lifeblood of what you need. It is an interdependent world. We sometimes overlook people. We sometimes overlook the capabilities of people. Sometimes, as a chemist, I would find a chemical engineer, maybe a woman, maybe somebody from foreign country. But many times we were able to make a connection because we had something in common. We did not allow certain other things to get in the way of our success. And today we find that the opportunities are there. They're not perfect, not by a long shot, but we sometimes have to put ourselves out. Now, we're going through, again, climate change. If you were working on an idea and water is rising and coming in your door, your window or something, I understand very well. This is not the time to sit there and spend whatever time. It's time to seek personal safety, personal security. Make sure that your family, your physical structure is maintained. So we do have interruptions. But do we have plans for what we can do during those times? We often talk about having water, drinking water, available during emergencies. How many of us do that? I went on city water. I had a well. It was on electricity. But there are times when the power's out. I've had power out for over a week. During that time, that means that I have no water. I have no water. And what does that mean? I can't wash dishes. Can't even flush the toilet if you don't have water. And sometimes those situations can be bad. And so what we end up doing is not being able to be flexible. I found that I used to travel a lot. Many of the books that I wanted to carry were bulky. When I found out that I could put books on my cell phone and listen to them while I'm in the air, while I'm waiting in the airport as flights are delayed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, turn wasted time into useful time. This is the importance of doing that. You go to a different city. Go to the library. Ask, are there any groups that meet these particular needs? Ask somebody. It doesn't have to be the library. It could be someone else. If you are aware of clubs and groups, American Chemical Society, for example, you go to a different city. You may learn an idea there that didn't dawn on you before. Sometimes membership has its benefits. Sometimes they're not worth it. That's a decision that you'll have to make. But when we talk about developing something, sometimes we find that we can get something off the shelf. I had a garden, and I would go out and water it every day or two. But then there were times when I could not get that done. That's not good for a garden. My son came in and we installed a drip irrigation. Guess what? When it came time to turn it on this year, the faucet that I was using to turn it on developed a drip and could not be turned completely off. But with the flexibility of that system, I was able to reverse it and use a different source. one that I could turn on and off with ease and then not continue to leak all day, all night. These are applications and uses of things that are innovative. Remember, we're problem solvers, people. We are problem solvers. When we take a job or when we're doing what we want to do, you know, we can make it work. We can make it work because we're always inventing. We're always designing. We're always making it better. Always. Always. And so we are doing this every day. We need to work on it every day because going by spurts and skips and jumps and hops that are basically unorganized efforts don't necessarily get us there. Sometimes they get us there, but they take way too long, way too long. I found out something else. While we're looking to be perfect, perfect, there is something better than being perfect, and that's in getting it done, getting it done. We go back. We look at works that have been put out. We look at books. We look at ideas. And, yes, it's great, and it has entertained, and it has educated tons and tons of people. But oftentimes you go back and say, well, I will change this. What if that person had never put that out because they wanted it to be perfect? Now, perfect today may not be perfect tomorrow. We get to a point where we're going to have to make some decisions, adult decisions, decisions that impact our future, I look at my mother. I look at my father. They did those things. They decided that they would have a house before they had a car. The house was paid for before they ever bought a car. That was a decision that they made. It may not be the right decision today, but it was the right decision back then. I began to see things happen. Understand that what you're doing is you're auditioning for everybody as you do your everyday life. You may not realize it, but what you're doing is you're impacting your children, your grandchildren, people in the neighborhood, and others. We often see doubters, people that say, I didn't think he could get it done. Yeah, they may have actually thought that. But many times these people come out to be your best supporters. I knew he could get it done. You know, we don't hold people oftentimes to first response. Although one of the sweetest things of revenge is being able to prove that you are right, that you had the right idea, that you persisted. When I look back and find that for years I have been using Vicks products. That was developed by a black pharmacist. Nobody knows that, but he was on the right track. He made products that for years have been very, very successful. There is nothing that holds you back like yourself. There sometimes are laws that may prevent things from happening, but generally there are ways around it. I don't ask you to do anything that violates the law, that violates your morals, because you want to be able to get up and look at yourself in the mirror tomorrow. And the way to do that is to be very, very ethical in what you do, to be very focused on what you are doing, to be very focused on your goals, to be very focused on your objectives to be very focused on the fact that there is someone that you need to have faith in. And I think that is your creator, whoever that may be. George Washington Carver got up at 4 o'clock every morning and spent time with his creator. In other words, he spent time with God. And that time was planning what was going to happen during the day, looking for inspiration, looking for motivation. We know of George Washington Carver from being at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, where most or where there was a high percentage of black people. What we sometimes don't realize is that he took a pay cut to leave Iowa State to go there. But he had a mission. He had a goal. He had something he wanted to do. He wanted to pay back. And although he had taken a pay cut, he was able to donate on his death a large sum of money because he was focused on his work. It wasn't the money that was the driving force. Sometimes we can be sidetracked by that. I'm not telling you not to, but I'm telling you to be in balance. Life is a balancing act. Everything that we do has an aspect of balance to it. Put too much balance on one side and it goes cattywampus. If we have a seesaw, a teeter-totter, and we put too much weight on one side, it doesn't work because one is going to be on the ground and the other one's going to be in the air. That's not fun for either one of them. Yeah, the guy that's on the ground can jump off and maybe injure the other person, but that's not what we're about. Remember, we are ethical people. We're moral people. We're looking for that balance. When we achieve that balance, that's when we have our fun. That's when both people are able to get something out of the experience. Our life is an experience that we can share with others if we choose to do so. And I think that that's what we do because success means just that. When you have people that depend on you, whether it's for financial help, or whether it's because they saw the way that you talk in school, whether it may be the way that they saw you handle your job as you worked. I had a friend, and I used to walk her dog. And this was actually a paid job. She was in the school system, could not get away. And it was easy enough for me to go by and spend 10 minutes with the dogs, let them out, and put them back. But there was a guy that did her lawn. I mean, he had this down to a science. From the time that he pulled his truck up, he would come off cutting the grass. He would blow it. He would do everything. It looked great. When he finished, what he did in minimal time, and it looked good because he had the tools that were necessary to do it. So we are always auditioning in life, always. Somebody's watching us. We may not realize that they are watching us. When we have a teacher that can solve problems, they're making an impact on those students. We sometimes have people that are not practical about what they are doing, what they are using. And while they can get some of that information over, it's not always as they hoped that it would be. My father taught bricklaying, but he also did other work. He took care of the church books. He also estimated materials for a tile contractor. And I was able to see the practicality of using math. that did as much for me as any of the classes that I taught. And sometimes I would think that I may have him stumped on a particular problem. It was very, very difficult to do that. Therefore, I saw a practical side for the use of mathematics, for the use of science, for the use of what we were talking about. We find that teachers, and I don't necessarily mean in the classroom, because we can teach outside of the classroom. We can teach in our churches. We can teach in our lives. Just because you don't have the title of teacher does not mean that you can't be a teacher. When your children see you get up and go to work every day and do what needs to be done, we're sometimes setting an example. I think of the example of the parent that used to sit at the kitchen table in the morning reading the paper, and I put that in air quotes, because it wasn't until years later, after this person had learned the value of reading and writing, that they find out that their parent was illiterate. That was a stage show, but it had its intended result. We need to also find out that we need to do what needs to be done before we do what we want to get done. Do what needs to be done first. That's your priority. What you want to do later. When you come home from school, when you come home from work, sometimes you have things that you need to do. It may be a small task from work. It may be homework from school, and then do your play. Otherwise, you play, you get yourself tired out, and you don't get it done, and it spoils the rest of your day and tomorrow because you're under pressure, because you didn't do what needed to be done. This is how we do it. When we go to Sunday school, church, for example, sometimes we want to wait up Saturday night and do that lesson. No, start Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. If things happen, it can be pushed off and still be done. You have the confidence. You have that study. You have a chance to apply some of that information prior to. This is the whole name of the game. This is the whole story of life, being prepared. I sometimes have a problem because they want to go into the book, and there's nothing wrong with going to the book. But bring something forth that tells me how I implement that today, tomorrow, so that I can live a better life, so that I can be that example for someone else. So that I can motivate, so that I can inspire, so that I can motivate and inspire not only myself, but others. It's just as important, because you'll find out that many times that comes back. My father has been gone over 2 decades, but I talked to one of his students the other day, and this man was Mr. Universe 8 times. Arnold Schwarzenegger was 7. And he was talking about how my father would ask him, what are you going to do? And he would tell him precisely what he was going to do. He was going to open gyms. He did it. He was going to set up other businesses. He did it. Still active today. Because, one, he had that idea. 2, it was instilled in him. It was pushed in him. When we see small children, what are you going to do? And you don't laugh at a kid because the dream seems impossible to you. This is what happened to Malcolm X. Malcolm X was an honor student when he was in Omaha, Nebraska. An honor student. Teacher asked him what he wanted to be. He said a lawyer. teacher said, you can't be a lawyer. You're black. You need to be a carpenter. Kind of foolishness is that? Teachers make things possible. Not impossible. Possible. And we need to encourage those people. We need to encourage everybody, whether they look like us or not, because there's benefit in doing that. We want to treat our neighbor as we would treat ourselves. And sometimes this comes along. I found this out as a black person in a community that was 3% black. I only wanted to go to work, come home. I didn't need a whole bunch of pleasantries and people faking anything. But my dedication to the job, you know what it showed me? People were more than willing to help me, and I had to be willing to help them. This is what life is about. We can't have everything and not share something. God shared what he had with his disciples. In turn, I'm sure that they inspired and motivated him. It is not necessarily equal on those two parts, but you do what you can. You do what you can. I have a problem right now with many of our churches because we are paying for that building 24/7, but we're using it just a few hours. Why don't we teach our adults computers, how to do research, how to do their taxes, how to do any and everything that they need to know? Why aren't we feeding people? We don't have to give away food. Sometimes just having it available at a reasonable cost, at a reasonable price, at a balanced diet. You know, we have so many people that have heart disease, diabetes, and other things because they don't know how to eat right. Whereas we could demonstrate to them, what's wrong with the Daniel diet or some of these other things that could help improve the health of our community? We can teach people that are diabetic how to eat, what to eat, make it appetizing, make it appealing. That may be your dream. To the person that's thinking about writing a book, why not write a book about that? And maybe in order to do it, you need to do it in order to get the experience to do it. I hope you understand what I'm talking about, because we have amazing capabilities. As I look at the clock on the wall, we have a little over 5 minutes. And I want to make sure that we get off because I am excited because we do have a program that follows us that comes on at 8 o'clock. And Deacon Wesley Armstrong brings a great program to us at that time. It takes a few minutes to get on and being available at the appointed. And I want to make sure that we do that. But I want you to listen to the information that I've given. If you need to go back and listen to it again, you can go back into the archives and you can listen. But I want you to also be aware that on Blog Talk Radio, we have many different programs. You may even have an idea for a program, and you can get in contact with us about doing that, because we're dedicated to providing information to the public. It goes around the world, believe me. The information that we have, the capabilities we have, the ideas that we have are second to none, second to none. So while I am getting off so that Deacon Armstrong can get on, I want to remind you that the name of the program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. We come to you every Thursday at 7 p.m. We're followed by another great program that comes on at 6, Apostle Willie Ann Miller. listen to those programs. If you find that they help you, continue. Continue. If not, and you have a suggestion, let's hear it. With that, I want to pray that all of you have a fantastic week, and I hope that you're able to join us on Sundays at 4 p.m., same information you use to log in here, where we talk about some of the amazing stories. I think that they will inspire you, regardless of race, gender, or any of the other factors that we don't have control over. What I'm looking at is to inspire and motivate all of us to do our very best. That comes from the God that created us. He didn't create us as a joke. He didn't create us as a second-class anything. He gave us what we need. We need to apply who and what we are. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed, and stay tuned for Deacon Armstrong. Have a blessed week.